Technorama 501st episode, Threading the Space Needle.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Going, gone. I need some energy cells for my proton pack.
Over there, in the media corner.
Ghostbusters!
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us, listening or watching or whatever you're doing. Craig's waving because he's not live on audio, video. Wait.
Here you go. Baby Groot wave.
Baby Groot?
Yeah, Baby Groot wave.
Groot! If you are returning, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi in sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and getting ready for Snowmageddon 2017 is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Actually, we've already had the snow. And guess what?
I thought it was supposed to be there till tomorrow.
No. It started today. So,
well, there's another system moving from Minneapolis to Chicago tonight and tomorrow. So I think you're still in the loom.
No, probably not. Actually, what happened was this morning I woke up and everybody was talking about the snow event coming. And so woke up, there was some snow. I was like, cool. And it was one of those snows where it was light enough. It was sticking in some areas, but under the trees, there was like grass because there wasn't strong enough.
Right.
So this afternoon it got up to about 47. And as soon as the sun came out, it was like, oh, we had snow this morning. It's all gone.
Oh, you could have made a snow grass hybrid, man.
Yeah, well, no, it was kind of one of those wet snows. So
that's the best kind. That's packy snow.
It wasn't much, I'm telling you.
Let's get on with our feedback, shall we?
Yeah.
There's more snow coming for the Midwest. There.
Okay.
Letters. And letters.
I'll take a C, Pat.
Letters.
E-I-O-U.
I-O-U? O-I-C-U-812?
Trying to throw out my vowels real quick.
We don't have a whole lot of written feedback because someone on this end of the podcast forgot to post the question of the week on Thursday because I was on a business trip.
Way to go.
Yep. And I wasn't paying attention to the alarms because we had a week off and my whole schedule got screwed up. So maybe we'll use the same question of the week as last time for this time. But we do have a couple of voicemails.
All right.
Shall we play them?
Play that bean footage.
Both of you on reaching show number 500. I know the long hours of work, comedy aside.
How's that? I got cut off.
Comedy aside.
We don't know who it is, but if your number ends in 1263, we'd love to hear back from you.
Hey, wasn't that Brad P. from NJ?
Could be. I'm looking at his our transcript. No, I think
somebody else.
I think he's area code 908. This came from area code 904.
Hey, by the way, he's not Brad P. from NJ anymore.
Did he move?
Yeah, he's moved.
Everybody moves around.
I asked him, I said, does that mean you're not in Brad P. from NJ anymore? He said, no, I'm thinking about that. We'll let you know.
Where'd he move?
Virginia, I think.
Brad P. from VA.
That's right.
Okay.
And then he could put previously NJ.
NJ is the name of Sheila and Evo's kid.
That's right. It is.
All right. If he ever has kids, they can call themselves they were from NJ as well. Anyway, we have a second one here from Rob from Knoxville.
Hello, Chuck, Craig, and anybody else who may be in the studio. This is Rob from Knoxville, a.k.a. Surreal. Now, I just want to congratulate you guys on podcast number 500.
Thank you.
And one.
And one.
Because I always feel sorry for the podcast, book, TV show, whatever, that comes after the milestone. So 501, guys, awesome work. Congratulations. And hey, I'll see you at DragonCon.
Yay!
So then, as always, surreal.
Is that sir as in knighthood, S-I-R, or surreal as in this can't be for real?
Surreal, yo.
Surreal.
Like a rapper name.
Not for real, sir. Thank you, Rob. He said he always feels sorry for the podcast, books, TV shows, or whatever that comes after the milestone. Did he just say he feels sorry for this show?
Yeah, where it's all downhill. It's all downhill from here.
We almost titled the last show, It's All Downhill.
He should call in on the next milestone, 502.
502. I'm sure if we can get Mark the Encaffeinated One to do us another little intro, 502.
It's the logical number between 501 and 503.
It's a bacterian number. I don't remember all the stuff he said.
I actually had to go look up what a Horshad number was.
What is a Horshad number?
I don't remember.
Your retention skills are outstanding, buddy.
In recreational mathematics, a Horshad number or a Niven number is given number base as a given number base is an integer that is divisible by the sum of its digits when written in that base.
It's the sum of the digits. So 5 + 0 + 0 is Anyway, let's go on with the history thing before
I don't know. I just do the humor here. I'm not a mathematician.
History time is here. Let's go.
Math is hard.
On this day in history, March 15, 2017, we hope. This is the 74th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 291 days remaining in 2017. It was on this date in 44 BC that Julius Caesar, dictator of the Roman Republic, is stabbed to death by Marcus Junius Brutus, all three of them, Gaius Cassius Longinus, and Decimus Junius Brutus, and the rest of you shall run with mucus.
I'm glad I get number two here.
And several others, Roman senators, on the Ides of March.
Right. I'm glad I'm reading number two. It was 524 years ago today that Christopher Columbus returns to Spain after his first trip to the Americas.
Did he bring back souvenirs?
Yeah.
Here's some nice beads.
Yeah, and here's a nice building of the Empire State Building.
I got you this at the gift shop, right?
That's right.
198 years ago today, French physicist Augustin Jean Fresnel wins a contest at the Academy. Boy, we should have rolled our D20s tonight.
Yeah.
Academy de Sciences in Paris. Paris, by proving that light behaves like a wave. Woo! The Fresnel integrals still used to calculate wave patterns silenced skeptics who had backed the particle theory of Isaac Newton. His name is also associated with lighthouses. You know that lens with the lines in it?
Yeah.
That's a Fresnel lens.
That's right. And by the way, I am related to Isaac Newton, just so you know.
You are.
Is it not obvious how smart I am?
keep going on mute.
What? I'm on mute. Also on March 15th, 1906, Rolls-Royce Limited is incorporated.
It was on this date in 1941. I can't recover from that last one. In 1941, that Philippine Airlines, the flag carrier of the Philippines, takes its first flight between Manila from Nelson Field to Baguio City with a Beechcraft Model 18, making the airline the first and oldest commercial airline in Asia operating under its original name.
And it was 32 years ago today that the first internet domain name is registered. It was symbolics.com. How symbolic.
Why didn't they take like internet.com or something?
A.com.
Happy birthday. Yeah, just register all the two-letter domains and sell them back later.
Yes, right.
Happy birthday goes out in this day to Greek Bishop and Saint Nicholas. Wait, isn't he the guy who brings you toys in December? He was born on this date in 270.
And born March 15th, 1821, Austrian physicist and chemist Johann Josef Loschmidt.
Not too bad. William Mitchell Ramsay, Scottish archaeologist and scholar, was born on that same date in 1851.
And German physiologist and physician, a Nobel Prize laureate, Emil von Behring, born on this date in 1854.
Boris Delaunay, Russian mathematician and mountaineer, was born on the same date in 1890.
American trumpet player, band leader, and actor Harry James was born 101 years ago today.
Every time I see Harry James' name, I think of the Three Stooges, where they're driving along in the fish truck. I forget who it is. One of them has a horn and going, "Fish!"
And he blows this horn out the window. "Fish!" He goes,
"Hey, Harry James." He says, "I know Harry James." He says, "You said it, dumb skull." And bashes him on the head with the horn. So anyway.
Okay. I didn't think about that at all.
Association with Harry James and the Three Stooges. Also born on the same date in 1932, American captain pilot and astronaut Alan Bean.
And also turning 82 today is American actor Judd Hirsch.
Judd Hirsch.
Yoish, don't hurt yourself.
American actress and dancer Emily Dunn. Where do you know that name from? This is your trivia question.
American actor Emily.
She was what's her name on Napoleon Dynamite. The photographer girl.
I can't remember her name.
She was born on the state in 1982. Okay. I mean, she's 35 now. Yikes. Happy birthday to our listeners. We're going to back up and go back a little further. March 8th through 22nd. March 8th is the birthday of two people. Alan Zine Youssef, a.k.a. Super Al 1394. We just call him Firewire, I guess. Also on March 8th is BJ Kiefer. I think we use that joke every year. BJ Kiefer, a.k.a. BJK. Andy Helsby of Absablog and Lootly is on the 11th, as well as Ken Kitzman, a.k.a. Kitz Can, because everybody's got an a.k.a. in here.
That's right.
Johanna Gonzalez is Mighty Joe on the 13th. 14th of March is Pi Day, of course. It's not a birthday, but it is a day we like to celebrate. Don't forget to make a pie on 314. Michelle Lopez, a.k.a. Country Signs, is the 16th. Greg Lemon at greglemon.com is on the 18th. The 19th is JT Shea of the GigCast, a.k.a. JT Shea of the GigCast. I made that one up. And Crazy Joe Fiore from Megapodzilla. Happy birthday to him on March 21st. He will also be at DragonCon, if I recall right. And we are right on time. If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, visit us at chuckchat.com/wiki. That's the way it was on this day in history for March 15th, 2017.
Play this out, man. Getting close to the end. Right on time.
Don't forget, we do have our calendar of all these events on our calendar. If you go over to chuckchat.com/technorama, there is a little calendar on the side. You can subscribe to that. And I even have IFTT telling me when things are posted there, because apparently it's sort of a, I'm the only one posting them, but man, I really am digging that app that I wrote. Hey, it's so nice to sit there on the phone and go, beep, 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 put that on the show, and it's pretty much done.
Well, after you've been adding these things to the calendar for all these years, not just the history stuff, but all the other things.
Yeah.
It's like every day it's like, it's ballpoint pen day. It's
There are some obscure ones. It's clean your hard drive.
It's kiss your hard drive day. Yay.
Change your password. It's getting stinky. That's
right. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
We have some good news, everyone.
Good news, everyone.
It's the death to the CAPTCHA. Google finally announced it. You think? I couldn't even read half of the ones I ever got. Is that a 6 or an 8? It's just so warped, I can't tell.
Well, it's one of those things that first I thought, that's actually a pretty good idea. It's easy for me to add 2 and 3 together and get 5, you know, or things like this. But but now it's like, okay, it was a good idea. Now it's getting old.
Well, and it's not even that secure, because Google can read addresses off of houses, so they can also read this stuff. And hey, have you ever tried to implement one of these in an application? These are a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the numbers, as a matter of fact, that was one of the tests. It would show numbers from the houses that they've shot with the cars. So it was like 3, 5, 2, you know.
Right.
you know, trying to make it harder for the computers to read them. It
didn't work. I'm going to read the article. Captures are an irritating but necessary evil. The system that is used to verify whether or not a user is human has been around a while, and it had to evolve because machines were getting better at reading the text than humans. What did you just do to your camera? I'm looking at your mic stand, Craig.
Thanks for pointing it out. I had to blow my nose. Ugh, thank you. I couldn't wait any longer.
Now I got some delay on your video, but that's okay. And Donna said, don't say anything because nobody else is seeing it anyway.
I was trying to be as discreet as I could. And you're like, hey, what'd you do?
All of a sudden, I was just like, I want to make sure you're okay. You didn't keel over from a heart attack and hit your camera.
I'll just go slowly down.
Just give me a clue, like, I'll be back in 1 minute next time.
Yeah, I'll be like, hey, wait, I'll be right back.
With its latest iteration, Google says you'll no longer have to input anything at all. Security is now, we don't need security anymore.
All the implants are in your brains are online, so don't worry about
it. We have all your data anyway. We don't need anything more. Invisible captures are the latest development in the completely automated public Turing test to tell computers and humans apart. Google acquired ReCAPTCHA back in 2009. It updated the system in 2013 to allow for the ubiquitous "I'm not a robot" checkbox that's all over the internet. Maybe I think that's the name of our next episode. I'm not a robot.
Fights like a human.
That version worked by determining the user's inhumanity through their clicking style. If the click seemed fishy, a more elaborate test would be offered. But the invisible CAPTCHA is able to recognize that a user is not a robot simply by analyzing their browsing behavior. You've been to porn. You're not a robot.
What robot enjoys human interaction?
Hot robot on robot. Look at the size of that air conditioning unit. Happy to see it go.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's old. We talked about that.
Yep.
I don't know why I'm saying it again.
Let's go to the next story. My browser's right. Being a little
slow. Hey, look, there. After all these years, I'm stopping myself from repeating myself. Wait a minute.
What?
Just move on.
Would you like to read the article about the Australian farmers who were bullied into buying $60,000 worth of ink cartridges by unrelenting cold callers?
This sounds like such a... All right, I'm going to start here. So nobody likes a cold calling salesperson, right? Yeah, everybody
right.
Shake your head. While they have a job to do like everybody else, the job is highly irritating to pretty much everybody involved. Case in point, an Australian office supplies company that bullied a farming couple into purchasing enough ink to last them 1,700 years.
Well, there's always the apocalypse.
When the zombies come and we don't get UPS shipments anymore. No.
They'll still be able to print.
Yes, right. The company, Corporate Office Supplies, was ordered this week by Victorian Civil Administrative Tribunal to pay more than $60,000 USD to a cattle farming couple, according to a report from The Age. The Age being the news outlet, I guess. Salespeople from the company reported calling the farming couple nonstop starting in mid-2015.
24/7 nonstop?
Constant? I don't know what that means exactly. So eventually, Charmaine Sharp relented and agreed to buy 56 ink cartridges. But the salespeople apparently continued their campaign. They eventually convinced Sharp to purchase another 1,900 cartridges. Apparently, the payments were made without her husband's knowledge. Ooh. What a pleasant surprise. The company then began making aggressive demands for debt collection, according to The Age. I'm using clear quotes. So in a delicious twist, the company CEO, James Murray, has quite a social media presence, including braggadocious photos with some questionable captions. Okay. So Murray has posted gaudy images of himself in cities around the world impersonating
interspersed.
I'm sorry, interspersed with status updates like partnering it up with Wiz Khalifa in Vegas, okay, and others. LOL, seriously, can the same old slut stop complaining on Facebook about the fact that they're lonely only at Christmas time? What? Okay, I don't know where that went off.
Okay,
he's talking about it. So anyway, you get the idea. This is a sleazy office supply company that pressured the lady, of course. She just felt like she wanted to shut him up to buy some green cartridges.
And you thought inkjet cartridges were expensive in your neighborhood.
Well, they are.
Don't you know? Just throw the printer away. The cartridges are more expensive than the printer these days.
It is, but when we did that, actually, you know what's funny is a friend of mine's like, here, you want this printer? And it's a printer scanner all in one thing.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it keeps eating paper. I don't know. I'm not saying anything, Fred. Just nothing.
Not mention any names, Fred.
Yeah. Just saying. It was doing it for me. I don't know. So Kim was like, fine. She used a coupon thing and ended up getting a whole new printer with cartridges and everything for like $35. How can you?
Right.
How can you argue with that at all? I mean, so.
Except that it's horribly eco intolerant.
Maybe.
Throw a whole printer in the landfill.
Actually, I kept it around for a scanner, but you get the idea.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, it's just amazing you can get something like that that's, you know, so cheap. But what else is cool, I'm going to say this about getting a new printer, is that it's been a while since I bought something like that. I don't really, I hate printers, okay? Myself, I hate printers.
I hate faxes.
It started with, it started off with, for me, lugging around these stupid heavy laser printers back in the day. And then, of course, over time, I can't print. I can't do this. That's like the one thing somebody asked me to work. Can you help me print? I can't print. They got like 20, 50 documents sitting in the queue. Anyway, I digress. But what I meant to say was the new printers are cool because you can really print from anything with very little effort. Any of the computers, my phone, the tablet, it's pretty cool how easy it's gotten.
Yeah.
But I seem to still be working on printer problems.
I was working on Wi-Fi problems today.
Apparently, I solved mine.
Apparently the last couple of people that were in our guest house on our Airbnb had Wi-Fi issues. I'd get a message. Hey, Wi-Fi doesn't seem to be working. You know, I give them the old standard. Did you unplug it and plug it back in? But we had a couple book for later this year that said we're doing a couple of webinars, and I thought, we probably want to make sure it's working a little better than that.
Come in the main house, I'll show you how it's done.
Right, see if the main house Wi-Fi reaches out there.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you, I put Google Wi-Fi in my house. I got 3 access points.
Yeah,
that thing is awesome. It works great.
Really?
I'm serious. I'm getting near wired speeds on this Wi-Fi access point.
Huh.
Around the house.
Now, you still have the router coming into the house, and then that's going to Google Wi-Fi?
Yeah, so one of the units is on the router, is at the router, and okay. I disabled the Wi-Fi that was on the router that came from the phone company.
Okay.
And I hooked up the one access point straight to a port,
yeah,
and then the other two are just plugged in walls like anything.
So
just
you're
like
getting the Ethernet over the power over Ethernet. I forget what they call it.
No, these are 3 wireless access points. It's a wireless mesh network.
Okay. So it's not getting it. No, the 2 remotes are not hardwired in any way to the main unit. They're acting more as relays.
One's sitting on a shelf downstairs in the living room, and one's right here beside me on this side of the house. And it works. Telling you, it works great.
Because they do make the units that you can plug into AC that will get you an IP address.
Yeah, but you know what? I have those around my house.
Yes.
I a few of those. And it depends on your power must be pretty clean. Because I was having trouble. One of my units, Kim was getting knocked off the internet all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I just have a feeling it had something to do with that part of the circuit. I'm not sure. But they were not 100% reliable. Some of them are. Harrison's using one, but the rest of the house, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a couple. So, there's one here in the studio that feeds over to my Apple TV in the bedroom. So effectively, yeah, I mean, it's hardwired. It's got a static IP address, and it's it's not on wireless, but it is wired through the power. Yeah.
No, a few of them work fine. I don't think it's the unit itself.
Okay.
I think it's something, you know, power's not, as long as you get the power, it's fine. I think some of them are not entirely clean. I have to, I have to go look. I don't know. I'm just saying some of them worked. Some of the outlets, it didn't work as good as the others.
All right. I think we put most of our audience to sleep by this point. Let's move on with another story. This is the last one we have in our news. The effects of the most esoteric physics abound through your life. Take quantum mechanics, the theory that describes how tiny things behave. It's everywhere, just like little wicker baskets.
I was going to say the same thing.
How else would you get so much data on a palm-sized terabyte hard drive? An international team of physicists, including many from IBM, have now taken storage down to the smallest level by using magnetism to encode data on a single atom. The research is a proof of concept and probably won't appear in your portable hard disk anytime soon, but it could have important applications for the future of computing. The scientists are really trying to push computing technology to its physical limit. Many of us are curious about how large, how fast, how small our world can be. Study author Fabian Netterer told Gizmodo in an email, "The single atom bit provides answers to that curiosity." Netterer's work builds on previous efforts to create single atom magnets. He started with holmium, which I think that came from the Marvel universe myself, one of the stranger elements on the periodic table. Lots of the electrons orbiting holmium's nucleus buzz around without a partner. Oh, it's like a middle school dance.
I'm always forever alone.
Unlike more familiar elements, he explained, single electrons have innate magnetic properties because they're essentially spinning electrical charges, not literally spinning. They have a quantum mechanical property called spin, which is described by equations that look like the equations of spinning object. Magnetic fields arise from moving electric fields. Normally, these tiny magnetic fields would cancel out in paired electrons, but in elements like holmium, all those single electrons fields line up. That can turn the atoms into little metastable magnets. Sounds cancerous. Meaning they're stable unless they get a kick, which can cause magnetic field to flip directions. You getting the idea of a one and a zero here?
Yes.
Yes. Good long article if you're into that kind of thing.
That's cool.
But it does mean that, proof of concept, like a lot of things we talk about on this show, it actually can happen. It can work, which I think is really freaking cool.
I suspect I would lose it just like I'll lose any thumb drive. Where'd I put that atom?
The femto drive?
Yeah.
Was that the...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Kevin Devin was dropping him in the carpet at Vegas convention.
Oh, Dr. Lehman, I dropped it.
That's right.
We'll have to see if we can find that clip at some point. All right, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with some hacks and strange stories and a couple other stuff. Craig was out at a con today. Stick with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Do you suffer from GD, also known as geek dysfunction?
Hey buddy, can't get your server up?
See your doctor and ask him about Technorama. Technorama can help you lead a more productive geek life without those embarrassing moments.
Starbucks is a girl!
By listening to Technorama, you'll also be able to communicate with your kids better.
A geek! A geek! A geek! A geek!
Just 45 minutes a week of Technorama, and you can lead a healthy, happy, and full geek life. Visit ChuckChat.com for your free sample today. Stop suffering from GD.
The next transit of Venus will occur on June 5th and 6th, 2012.
Warning, side effects may include laughing out loud in public places. Technorama should be listened to with caution while drinking liquids or driving. Women who are pregnant should not listen to Technorama less than twice.
Greetings, programs. This is Jay Mayer, the Tron Guy, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig.
Oh, I didn't realize how old that clip was until he referenced 2012 in the future tense. You're on mute.
Hey, it's just like work.
Yeah.
I was just saying it. Never mind. I lost it now. Keep going.
All right, let's go with the Hacks and Strange Stories then. Because, you know, I do a bit of business travel. I had a business trip this past week. And if you looked at the jet engines, you know, there's a little spiral on the center hub.
Yes.
Do you know what that's for?
I didn't know until I read this article, Chuck.
Well, I figured it was the obvious thing that the article said as well. It says, if you've traveled on a commercial airplane, there's a likely chance you've noticed those little white swirls in the center of those engines on the wings. It may seem straightforward to keep people on the ground advised when the turbofan is spinning, right? But that doesn't explain everything. To learn more about the nose cone spirals, a word just doesn't look right with those two words smacked together. Also called spinner spirals, spinner swirls, or nose cone swirls. Wasn't that what you were just doing when you moved your camera away?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. Putting a swirl on my nose.
The author of this emailed Boeing, whose spokesman responded with, the nose cone spirals serve two purposes. One is to scare birds and the other is to identify when the engine cone is spinning. Oh, that agrees with what Rolls-Royce, the leading maker of the jet engines, had to say. As well, they described how the swirls fend birds off by saying, our aerospace engines have swirls painted onto their spinners in order to indicate when the engine is rotating while on the ground. In flight, these swirls flicker as the engine rotates at high speed, scaring birds and allowing them to fly clear of the engine. So, to warn ground crews and to ward off birds seems plausible, right? But sure. While two solid sources like Boeing and Rolls-Royce being in agreement might make you think that we're done here, there's actually quite a bit of conflicting information in all this, and there is an embedded video with, I don't know, there's a bird strike in a jet engine is not a funny thing.
No.
Unless they were throwing in, you know, like the Mythbusters did, frozen chickens. Flinging frozen chickens is fun. Okay, there's a lot of conflicting information about the swirl's value and bird strike prevention mechanism. For example, Boeing's representative told me that one of the swirl's functions was to, quote unquote, scare birds. But if you look at this article on Boeing's own Aero Magazine, co-written by a PhD in aviation system safety and safety pilot, it says that's not true. In its common misconceptions about bird strikes section, the article includes airplane colors and jet engine spinner markings help to repel birds, adding to confusion, despite Rolls-Royce's press release suggesting that the swirls, quote, flicker when it rotates, repels birds. Online aviation blog AeroSavvy says the received information following statement from Rolls-Royce. The nose cone, both in terms of strength and angle, is designed to reduce bird impact damage to the engine and reduce ice buildup. They have a font that sounds like that. It's pretty cool. The spirals are there as a warning to the ground crew when taxiing. In flight, the spirals could not be seen by birds as the rotation of the engine would be too fast.
Well, actually, I'm going to be honest with you. When I first read the title, I was like, okay, I think by the time the bird sees this,
too late.
It's going to be not so much worried about that swirl as those blades coming at him.
The bird, I mean, maybe during takeoff and landing, because, you know, birds aren't flying at 35,000 feet.
But I don't understand how the flickering, I don't know.
It's too fast. The guy says actually, the flickering is a falsehood. We have conflicting information. We need an authority on this. We need some testing.
No kidding. Well, wait a minute. We know somebody does some aerospace testing. Don't we?
Oh, SF Edwards.
Yes. What I was thinking of is why don't they put some kind of grate on there? I mean, obviously keep it from falling into the turbine, but something to keep the large debris from flying into it.
Like a grill? Because it would probably impact the airflow.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I understand that, but I'm just saying.
And if you hit a bird,
there might be something you can put on it.
You know, if you strung up a chain link fence, A, your aerodynamics are now degraded. B, by the time that bird hit the chain link fence at 600 miles an hour.
Yes, but there
ain't no chain link fence.
But I was going to say that, but the bird would be a nice bite-sized chunks at that point.
Nuggets.
That's how they get chicken nuggets.
Boeing nuggets.
Oh, it's so clear now.
All right. On that note, let's give a shout out to the chat room. I'm sure we can probably make some interesting sound bites out of that last article. Looking nuggets. At our people who have been chatting in this, I see Clinton Alver, John Miller Jr., Tim Elliott. Who else do you see in there? Sinful was there a little while ago. We had Craig Glasner, Ranger Craig.
Yep.
Scott Stephanie Long, Gary Lindros. And did you see any others that I might have missed?
Cynthia.
They keep jumping Clinton. In and out. So it's hard to tell.
Yeah, we don't have a that's the thing as opposed to the way we did it before. It was easy to see a concise list. So if you're there, kind of stay there.
Wave.
Everybody do the
Britton
wave.
Britton Lineberger.
That's right, Britton Lineberger.
That sounds like a great sandwich name, doesn't it?
That's right.
All right, Craig, you have been to a con today. Where was this, in Charlotte?
Actually, I was going to talk about cons altogether.
Altogether?
Yeah.
We have limited time on this show.
Well, just real quick. Last week, I went to work in San Diego, and I worked for a couple days, and then the family went with me, so we spent a couple days together over the weekend, and we stayed at the hotel that, you know, work provided for us, the Marriott, and then we changed over to another one for the weekend, and the one we went to, it turns out there was a con there, a little sci-fi fantasy con.
At which hotel? At the Embassy Suites?
No, we moved it was a Four Points.
Oh, okay.
In San Diego near the airport.
Sure.
And so we went there, and, you know,
that's pretty
cool.
There was
a sci-fi kitchen. So Harrison and I paid money, and we hung out there one day and spent time. They had a gaming track, which was right outside our door. So we played a couple of games with everybody, and then we toured the halls and tried to look at a couple panels, and you know, we had a good time. So today we went to Charlotte Comic Con, which I think they do it twice a year, because we went there in December and then we went there today, and I was like, oh, it's also called Comic Con. So it must be like they do it twice a year. And there's vendors, of course, and there's a lot of cosplay. So I was like, I should have gone as Fry and entered the contest. The opportunity missed. But there were some good costumes there, and I would recommend, I think they do it again in December. So if you're so inclined and you're in the Charlotte area, check out the Charlotte Comic Con. And the other one was the Condor Con, which was, again, more fiction based. And they also work with other cons in the area. I saw like a Doctor Who con and someone somewhere. Oh, and I wanted to mention this guy. Let me pull up a picture. There was a gentleman that we spoke to. He's an author. And we bought his book because it looked interesting. His name is Andy Pelequin.
Okay.
And is Blade of the Destroyer. It's supposed to be like a murder mystery fantasy book. So anyway,
you picked that up
today.
Cool
to talk to. In San Diego.
Oh, San Diego one. Okay. Condor,
yeah, it was funny.
Con. Sounds like Condor, it has something to do with your garage door openers, but okay.
Yeah. So everybody was pretty nice there, and it was a great environment. So I would recommend that one as well.
Thank you to our patrons who keep the show going.
Yes.
And can help pay for the software upgrades that we just did. To bring
keep
you
the
cool
circuits
new
on.
Features. Keep the circuits on. Thank you to Kyle Nishioka, Chris MC, Nick St. Gabriel. The music's just a wee bit loud. John Noble, Mike Wills, Alexis Duran, Amy Bowen, Brad P. from NJ, formerly from NJ. Just have to stick that on somehow. Steve right. Therian, Ben Vaughn, Abner Braverman, Saturday Morning Media, Dennis Padnod, Leon. And, you know, I've been neglect in mentioning our PayPal tip jar people. There's still a few of them that are tipping away on a monthly basis. So thank you to them as well. I don't have their names at the handy. I believe Mark in Memphis, or Mark from Memphis, is one of those people. And I'll have to check on the other ones, because many of them have migrated over to being Patreon people. If you want to be one of our Patreon people and get your shout out on the show, go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. We'd love to give you a shout out and really, really, really appreciate your support. You will get special content only available to our patrons. After this show is over, we go and record something that it's safe for the internet, but it's...
Is it?
Is it really? The content is only known to our patrons.
Is any of this safe for the internet?
Not really. Not at all. So thank you very much to all of you. Let me cut that music. Done. And we will go into... I just beheaded him. Where's our media corner? Media corner, there it is.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Craig, I believe you found this one. Superman fan comic.
Yes, you know, I'm a huge Superman fan, as well as a buddy, John Miller Jr., who's in the chat, so yes. I hope he gets to see this. This is Superman the Golden Age. It's a free fan comic, and by comic, I mean like a comic book that this fan had put together, and it's very well done. I haven't read the entire comic. I just kind of skimmed through a few pages, but I'm gonna read it myself, and it's kind of like an alternate origin of Superman, not necessarily, you know, coming from Krypton, that kind of thing, but he's like at a carnival and he sees a suit that looks similar to, or something like he'd want to wear, that kind of thing. It's really cool. There's a little trailer video right there on the website, and there's two versions of the comic. There's a regular size comic, and there's one kind of formatted for mobile device, huh. You know, going landscape or portrait or landscape. So anyway, go check it out. It's free, and give this guy some love, because that's a lot of effort. Just like those Superman videos that what's his name, Chris Pratt, put out on YouTube. That, you know, the old Superman, to like the Fleischer cartoons. Love those things. I end up watching them every once in a while. But this is great. So give this guy some love and check out his stuff.
AdrianVanVeersen.com. But we have a link in the show notes in case you can't spell Van Viersen.
Yes. And I so wholly expect to see John Miller Jr. do a do a book report.
I thought you were going to say do a backflip. Okay.
That's right. Hey, wait a minute. See, look, tonight I'm wearing my Superman.
Where's Superman? Ready? Yep.
Yeah. I wore it to the con. I figured I'd wear it somewhere out of the house.
All right, let's have some fun. This is a posting from obviousplant.com that came to us about redoing some of the candy slogans that you see, like Snickers. Instead of Snickers satisfies, they added Snickers satisfies your hunger, but not that nagging feeling in the back of your mind that you'll never amount to anything and will almost certainly die alone. Snickers.
Wow. Skittles. Not as catchy as Skittles, but
Skittles, or, taste the rainbow, ingest the light, feel its power, absorb all color, devour the sun, eat the stars. You are unstoppable.
Motivational.
Then there's Butterfinger. Break out of the ordinary and into a zoo at midnight to pet the koalas. They're adorable. This is definitely a good idea. It's kind of fun doing narrations. We had to do voiceovers for these commercials.
I know. We should, shouldn't we?
Almond, you want to do one? Go for it. Almond Joy Mounds.
Oh, I just closed the link because I thought you were going to move along.
No, there's two more to do. Almond Joy Mounds, and you got to click through the link.
I know. Hold on. I'm getting there.
Okay.
Hold on.
What's the Almond Joy normally mounds? Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Okay. Oh, I'm trying to read it now. So Almond Joy Mounds. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you feel like life is a cruel, meaningless joke, and nothing you do matters. So why even bother trying?
I love the singing part. There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's unless you cover it in spiders and then shout, "Yum, spiders!" And then eat the Reese's even though it's covered in spiders. That's weird. Don't do that.
And that would be wrong. Yeah.
A lot of fun from Obvious Plant. I hope we see more of those. I want to get back to a topic that we had. We've got a few minutes left. That Yorga, you know what? I even think, where is it? There.
What the chuck?
We haven't used that in a long time. In fact, I think I lost that. But Yorga had a question, a couple of questions a while ago. That said, if you ever need a new segment, explain American things to Europeans. So this is my first attempt at American things to Europeans. He's got two questions. What's a class ring? Craig, how would you describe a class ring?
It's a ring that signifies the graduation of high school.
Right.
Like the Super Bowl.
Put out by a company called Jostens, who is notorious for scamming high school kids everywhere.
Hey, I remember that name. You're right.
Yes. You didn't remember that?
See, I didn't remember the name, but until you just said it,
I didn't have money for class pictures, class ring, but you had to buy your cap and gown from Jostens, and the class ring usually had your school moniker, mascot, whatever it was. We had a Native American on the side of our ring. It has the year. And the idea is, well, ours was anyway, you turned the ring around after graduation because the Indian was looking forward to graduation, but then after you graduate, you're looking back on the memories that you had.
And he has a little tear that comes down on the side of his cheek.
Because you littered all over the highway.
Right. No, it was your future.
No. So yeah. a class ring is just a symbolic thing that some students get that, I don't know, anybody who still wears their high school class ring, probably by the time you're 25, it's not what?
Yeah. By the time you graduate, really.
It's not cool anymore.
I would say maybe a year after, don't wear it anymore. You don't need to wear it anymore.
It's not cool.
No. It's about as useful as your diploma.
Save your money. Also, he says, how blocks work in cities. Now, that's an interesting one, because I thought this was universal, but then I remembered a lot of European cities don't really have this concept of blocks.
Throw this out here. I may be wrong, but I think in the States, as opposed to some of the older cities in Europe,
well, even some older U.S. cities like Boston have that very organic.
Well, the idea I think is, I think the idea is in the States or more modern cities, I say, not necessarily just the States. It's it's very much more designed where there are city blocks, and it's like a grid layout, and you can especially see that going out towards the West Coast.
Yes, Phoenix. Take a look at the map of Phoenix at some point. Street is north, south, east, west.
Yeah. So when I lived in Texas, it was a little more like that. As you go out, you can see that it's a very structured layout to the city. Charlotte, it's a crapshoot because there's some.
Right. It's one of the early cities. Right.
Yeah. They got roads that cross over themselves, some stupid stuff. But as you go out to the west, it's a little more organized.
It's done to apparently try and make it easier to navigate around some of the cities, because you could say go five blocks up and two blocks over, right? Because if the streets are all crooked and intertwined like a nest, it's a little tougher to navigate. So that's the general idea of how blocks work in cities. Now, the size of the blocks differs.
I don't think there's any hard math on that.
So when they say two city blocks, they could be referring to a quarter mile at that point, or they could be referring to just a few hundred yards. Anyway.
Well, hey, here we don't use blocks at all. It's more like go down yonder, turn right, and then go a little bit longer.
Past where Jared used to park his truck. Landmarks that only mean something to somebody who's lived there for 35 years.
Yeah, well, sometimes I go by the Hardee's or go by the Mexican restaurant. It used to be a Hardee's, but now it's, I do that all the time.
Throw in plenty of useless information. The coffee shop that's no longer a coffee shop, but it's a bookstore. But after it was it's not a bookstore anymore, is it?
It's in this building that looks like it's a coffee shop. It used to be a bank, but now it's across the street from the Mexican restaurant, which used to be a Hardee's. And
then got torn down.
It burned up in 78.
Gas station.
Yeah. Yeah, they rebuilt it in 78 after the fire. And
the person you're giving directions to goes, just give me a street number. I'll GPS the damn thing.
Thank you. I'll use Google.
Right. And you wonder why we don't stop and ask for directions from Craig.
That's right.
We are nearing the end of the show. We have our question of the week. We want to know if you had to cosplay as a character for your normal clothes from here on out. You just wrote this a few minutes ago. Yeah. What would you go as? Could you stand to go as Superman in those blue and red underoos?
Or I could. I don't know if I'd be married any longer.
Thor. Thor would be pretty imposing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's some really interesting stuff. I saw a cosplay this week. I believe it was South by Southwest. It was a guy, full beard. I mean, clearly a guy. And he had just the front part of the Titanic, the railing. And he's going down the street in this skateboard. Going, I'm flying. But he had this dummy behind him kind of holding on like Jack was in the movie. It was great. You don't want to do that for the rest of your life.
No. Actually, I came up with an idea the other day. I was watching the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And when they go to the dance, he's in the shower curtain. I was like, you know, the shower curtain would close up.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that'd be great at Dragon Con. You get some privacy while you're around everybody, you know?
We've seen that cosplay before.
Probably. Actually, Clinton Avord had another one.
Dude.
He's the man of our time. Right.
Unless you're in Atlanta at Dragon Con in the hot days. Clinton knows all about dressing up in hot costumes.
I want to see Clinton wear a sweater all day. Actually, we did for a little while, and that was disastrous.
Oh, that was more than a sweater. It was sweater, sweatshirt, parka. He had everything on. All righty, we want to know. Let us know. Call us on the listener line, 707-530-CHAT, like you heard other people do earlier. And you can send us email, technoramachuckchat.com. We will post this on Facebook so that you can put your comments in there as well.
Hey, by the way, Clinton replies, he says, oh, it's on. So challenge accepted.
He's going as the dude and Scruffy. A scruffy old dude.
Yeah, with a broom.
He's going to be motivated. Cross the genres.
He wouldn't be motivated enough to sweep.
Yeah. He's going to be pushing a bowling ball around with his broom. Thank you again to our Patreon people. We are going to check out of here. Where's that lasting music? There's the ending music. Thank you once again, Craig.
Yes, no, thank you, Chuck.
Fun as always. Sure. Thank you for helping with the show notes. Sometimes it's touch and go there for a while, but we pull it through every week. Well, almost every week. You had a thing last week. Are we having a show next week?
It'll be
the 19th. As far as I know, yes as well, unless something from business comes up. So we will see you here. Watch for our event. I'll get that in. I cross my fingers. It looks like everything worked as far as the video upgrade went. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Thank you for that. There's still a lot to learn in that software package. But thank you to my lovely wife, Donna, for running the new software.
Yes. Thank you, lovely Donna.
And we are out of here. So, till next time, tell a friend about Technorama. Share this video if you would, and give us a binary high five.
101. That wasn't any hand signal for my thing. See you later.